1 Kings chapter 18. In fact, I had four messages to preach this summer if I went, and the Lord, I felt like He just give them to me just to take and to preach. But before I left here this evening, I felt like I just want to do the will of God. It makes no difference to me if the Lord tells me to get up here and preach on birth control, I'll just do it. And I can do it. Let me tell you something. One of the things that's killing our country is that we are not raising more Christian people. The time is coming in America. We're not going to be able to beat them out at the polls, at the voting place, because we have killed a generation off that ought to went there and voted for the Lord. So you see, there's a lot of stuff to preach about that. That's right. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, shew thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land and to all the fountains of water, and into all the brooks, preadventure, we may find grass to save the horses and the mules, that we may lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. I believe I'll quit reading there this afternoon. But I want to preach for just a little while on saving the horses and the mules. That's what I want to preach on, saving the horses and the mules. Now, all Scripture is dual. Scripture has a literal interpretation that you can read. It has a spiritual interpretation and applications that most preachers take out of it, and they apply it, especially if you're preaching on a tabernacle. The stuff in the tabernacle, it represented Jesus Christ and the work of the Lord. And then there is a prophetic interpretation of the Scripture. Now, this famine that happened during this time was caused by one man called Elijah the prophet. Elijah, the book of James says that he prayed and it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. Now, this 3.5 years is prophetic of the 3.5 years of tribulation that the world is going to suffer in the end time. It's commonly known as a 7 years tribulation period, but in the last 3.5 years, it is specifically the wrath of God poured out. The wrath of God's poured out in all 7 years, but the last 3.5 years is when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, and the abomination of desolation takes place. That is in Matthew chapter 24. The Antichrist goes in and he profanes the altar of God, the sacrifice of God during that Jewish covenant. He profanes it. It is the abomination of desolation. And immediately the hordes of the nations begin to gather together, amen, to the extermination of the Jew. Now, it is to be noted that these were perilous times. When we go into tribulation, that's where we're headed this afternoon. We are headed for tribulation. Amen. We are going to tribulation. We are in the last of the last days right now. Amen. We are in the last days of the church dispensation. I believe, brethren, I could be wrong about it, but I believe that one reason why we don't see the wholesale soul saving of America and the lost in America is because we are in the changing of dispensations. Amen. We are in the time that the Spirit
missions. There has to be a time that the power of God leaves us and goes back and grasps the Jew in. Amen. Amen.
I talked to a preacher the other day, and he told me, he said, I'm the most well-read man in the book of Revelations in this country. And I said, Jimmy Jewell was with me. And I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, I know more about the book of Revelations than anybody in this country. He said, I can quote scriptures out of the book of Revelations. He said, I can quote the 12th chapter about the nation of Israel and the man-child. He said, I can go over in the 7th chapter and I can quote to you about the 144,000 that's took up out of every the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. He said, I can quote about the candlesticks in Revelation chapter 1. He was trying to quote me little parts of the verses of Scripture. What he was quoting, he was getting wrong. He said, but I'm the most well-read man in anywhere in this country in the book of Revelation. And I said, well, tell me something. I said, when do you believe that the rapture takes place? He said, it takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. And I said, what chapter? The 11th chapter or the 7th chapter? You believe the rapture is going to be in the 11th chapter or the 7th chapter? Usually, you believe one or the other. The 7th or the 11th, amen. If you believe it. And he said it takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. And I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, when does the tribulation start? How do you know that the tribulation period has started? If you believe that, you know, you need to know when it starts. And he scratched his head this little bit and he said, you know, I don't believe the Bible is very plain about that. It actually starts in Daniel chapter 9 when the Antichrist confirms his covenant with Israel for 1 week, but he didn't know that. And I said, when does it start? And he said, I don't believe the Bible is very plain about that. And I looked up at him and I said, well, I want to ask you a question. If you don't know when it starts, how are you going to know when the middle of it is? Huh? I ain't telling you how I believe it. Woo! But it is going to happen. It is going to happen. And let me tell you something, when it does happen, it will be no laughing time. Jesus said, yea, I say unto you, for there shall be tribulation, not since the world has started, not in Noah's flood. There'll never be a time like it, amen, in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. There'll never be the blood shed across the face of the earth when just like it, amen, in tribulation time. Oh, God, oh, amen. No wonder Jesus wept over top of the city when he knowed in a few days, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would gather thee together as a hen doth her brood, but you would not, amen. Amen. There was a famine in those days. Amen. The days of Elijah. Amen. Ahab, there was a famine in those days. And that famine had been going on, amen, for almost a full 3.5 years. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. It's hard with their supermarkets. I thank God every time it rains, don't you? With their gardens, with their plenty of corn, their beans, their potatoes.
us. Amen. Their cattle. Amen. Amen. Their clothing, their money, their cars, their dress. Amen. It's hard to preach to people about famine. Amen. But brother, it comes. Amen. Oh God. Amen. In World War II, Charlie Pennington, Brother Charlie Pennington, come to me one time. And he said, Brother Mike, he said, I want to ask you something. He said, have you ever seen the book, $1,000 for a Drop? And I said, no, sir. And then I went to checking up on it, and it wasn't a book. It was a tract put out by one of the soldiers in World War II that landed on one of the beachheads. And when he got back to America, he put out a tract called $1,000 for a Drop. He said, we went in on that beachhead, and they had us pinned down with their machine guns. The machine gun fire was all around. He said, we laid out there for days on that hot sun. He said, I could look over from him. He said, I'm telling you, he said, I seen guys that I was in basic training with. He said, their tongues swelled out of their mouths and busted. He said they went stark crazy, and some of them took their guns and blowed their brains out after days of laying on that beach in that hot sun. He said we cut the tongues out of our shoes and gnawed on the shoe leather. Our mouths were so parched. He said, laying there. He said, waiting for help, not knowing if it's going to come or not. He said, they swelled up. They bursted. They drunk their own urine, amen, for something to drink. And when he got out of it, alive, he wrote the book, $1,000 for a Drop. Oh, God, amen. Let me tell you this afternoon, that is what a famine is. Amen. And here you go. Here you go, amen. It's in this time of famine, amen. Hey, let me tell you something, church, tonight. We're in a time, this afternoon, we're in a time of famine. If there's ever been a time of famine, we're in a time of famine, amen. If there's ever been a time, amen, where spiritually, amen, the famine is old, amen. The apostasy is old. Men and women are drying up, dropping out like top flies. Why in the name of God is there such crime in America? I'll tell you why. The deeper we go into crime and immorality is only a sign of the dearth and the famine in the church. The spiritual condition of the church in America is reflected by the death of degradation and immortality in our land. That's right, amen. Let me tell you something. One time in the 50s and the 60s when our church thrived, nobody would mow a lawn on Sunday. Did I say it to you right? I said there was a time nobody mowed their yards on Sunday because the church had such moral persuasion. Amen. We had such moral persuasion in our communities that even the sinner respected the house of God. Amen. But the more we desire to eat out on Sundays and shop on Sundays, the worse they get. Now we see the sinner going down through earth, half naked out in his yard. Amen. And you say, my God, that's an abomination. But you, where are you coming from? Amen. Brother, I tell you something tonight in America, this morning in America, we're in a time of dearth. We're in a time of spiritual famine. Amen. So Ahab is king of Israel. And here's what Ahab, the prophet says. Amen. Ahab the king. Obadiah, the governor of his house. He gets together. Oh God. Oh. Ahab, I want to ask you something.
In this time, we suffered 3.5 years of famine. There's not been a drop of rain upon the face of the earth for 3.5 years, not one drop. Amen. Oh, those animals out there in the field, they begin lowing. That oxen is a lowing. Oh, everything is dried up. Amen. No garden. No green. No vegetable. Amen. The streams dry. The brooks dry. Amen. No water. Nowhere. Amen. A critical situation for a time in the course of any people. Amen. And right at the end of the 3.5 years with no water. What is on the king's heart? Ahab says, somehow, some way, we've got to save the horses and the mules. What's on the king's mind? Why is foremost in your heart, king? Ahab says, somehow, I've got to save the horses and the mules. Hey, king. Hey, king. You're the leader of your people. You're the head threat. In the midst of all of that suffering and all that are going on, all Ahab can think about saving is the horses and the mules. Oh, but now we got to get down there. We've got to find fire. We've got to find a little green grass. We've got to find just a little water to save the horses and the mules. Amen. My God, amen, king. Let me ask you something. Amen, in that time, could not you see one thing, amen, that needed saving more than horses and the mules? Let me tell you, some of you can come to a meeting like this and you sit out here in a prayer, God is a fallen everywhere. Stand up, buddy. My God, I never heard music so loud in all my life. Have you?
Never so loud in all my life.
Huh? Yeah.
Never so loud in all my life.
My God, look like it turned that down up there.
Yeah, you're going to bust somebody's ears.
Oh, my God, don't they don't know that can hurt your health?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, if it looks to me like those preachers up there was really in the Lord, somebody tell them turn down that loud music.
Sure does.
Oh, my God. You'll come to a meeting like this and a prayer of God falling all over this church. Amen. Ah! Listen to me. Amen. And you can't take... Hey, honestly, tell me something. Amen. You can't take of one thing in this church, amen, that is more important than the horses and the mules. Hey, listen to me, church, amen. My God, there's something here this afternoon that's more important and worthy of saving than the horses and the mules. Let me tell you something. Well, I want to know something. Yeah, they're emotional. They're emotional down here at Bond. They're a little more emotional than our church. They're what? Emotional. Hey, dummy. Let me talk to you a minute. Is that all you can say about the moving of the power of God? Is that they're more emotional than somebody else? Glory to God. Why don't you say amen? Amen. They have got the Holy Ghost on that. And they are showing a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Amen. Then make it up for your dryness and your death and your famine by saying, my God, all they are is emotional.
Come on, Mike.
Amen. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen.
You know what is the greatest thing that's a bothering this country? Let me tell you what.
Come on, brother.
I'll tell you what the biggest problem is down here at the Bond Church. You want to know?
Yeah, I'll tell
you. Man, have you noticed how much money the preachers are making?
My goodness.
Huh? I'll tell you one thing. I'm not living as good as Ann and John.
My God, amen. Oh, brother, amen. Can I tell you something this afternoon? Amen. I feel sorry for a preacher's wife. Amen. That can rake and scrape it up together to get a new dress. Amen. You know what they do? They keep it in a closet for months, afraid to wear it because of your jealousy. Amen. But we got people that died all around us and are going to hell, amen. And our churches are dried up. And our pastors are struggling. And our churches are struggling.
Come on.
Well, I'd sure like to know how much he makes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd like to know where it's going.
People can be down with a cancer. They can be suffering on every side in our community. Let me tell you something. In the last 2 or 3 years, I've had people die inside of my church. They were raised inside of my church and went to hell. They didn't look at my church and went to hell. Amen. But you know what we're fussing about down to church? The horses and the mules.
Amen. The other day, me and Sister Debbie were driving out of Cincinnati. We're listening to radio. This is the talk, 700 WLW talk radio. And going down the road, this very conservative guy on, O.J. Simpson just had killed Nicole about 2 or 3 weeks earlier. Amen. And is that Brother Benny's youth camp? Started coming out of Cincinnati, 700 WLW. It was talking about O.J. Simpson killing and the killing of Nicole Simpson. And had a stirring discussion. All of a sudden, one guy calls on her. Amen. One guy calls on the radio. He says, hey. He said, listen, I want to tell you and your listening audience something. This guy was as serious as a heart attack. Amen. He said, I want to tell you something. He says, I'm for the Humane Society up here in Cincinnati. And he said that you know that every year, he said, I want your listening audience to hear me. Every year, thousands and thousands of turkeys and chickens die. I think about that almost every time I eat one, don't you? Yeah. Before I bite into that thing, I say, boy, I'm glad you're dead. Glory to God. But here was this bleeding heart. And he said, I want you and your listeners to know something. He said, every time a turkey or a chicken dies, they suffer pain untold. I never had really thought about it all that much, you know. Amen. About all pain is. And then he said this. He said, I want you to know something. He said, every chicken and turkey that dies, they feel just as much pain as Nicole Simpson felt. And I said, my God. I said, do you mean to tell me that we have reached a state in America where the conscience level is no higher, that we cannot discern the difference between a chicken and a turkey a dying and a human being dying? Ha!
Glory to God. Amen. Do you say, I'm asking the church something this afternoon? Do you know what is important? Do you know what is worth something in the eyes of God? I tell you what our church is doing this afternoon. We're spending our time trying to save the horses and the mules and turkeys and chickens. And we forgot what is important. We have never been in a time when our churches have been in such low and ill repute as right now. Our preachers try to have revival. How many pastors we got in here? Hold your hands up. How many of you, brethren? Brother Frank? I'd like for you pastors to step out here. All of you step out beside Brother Johnny. Come over here if you would. Amen. Brother Frank Rogers, hold your hand up. You know what Brother Frank Rogers will do? He'll call a revival in Brownsville, Missouri. Let me tell you something. I preached him a revival. Do you know where the money for our revivals and offerings come from? I do. The church gives me about $80, $90 for that revival. Frank Rogers, before I left, wrote me out a check for $175. Oh, and the people would have probably give. But while we was having revival, do you know what they were doing? They were saving the horses and the mules. Let me ask you this evening, amen. How important is the church, amen? Is it worth saving? You know what I'm doing every time I go to the house of God? I'm going to help saving my church, amen. I'm not going to stay home and cut stinking grass, amen. I'm not going to stay home, amen. Glory to God, amen, for watch television or radio or nothing else, amen. I'm not staying home for the ball game. I'm not staying home for the bowling alley. I'm not staying home for nothing. I'm going to go save my church.
Right.
For the buzzard! My God, do you all know that you can discourage a preacher? Him a busting his gut. Him a busting his gut. Doing his best. Amen. Take money out of my pocket. Finance my own revivals. And they don't appreciate it enough to even come. Let me tell you something, good buddy. They cut the strings on you and let you float. You know what they're doing? They're saving the horses and the mules.
Who cares about this guy here? Get out of here, junk. Get out of here, junk.
Hey, man. You're too much revival for us. You're too much of a church man for us. You're too much a literalist when you preach the Bible for us. Amen. Holiness is bogus stuff. Amen. I tell you what we really want to say. You may be trying to save our community. You may be trying to save our families. Amen. But we're interested in saving our horses and our mules. Float, guy, float. Now, right quickly, I want to all you parents, amen, listen to me, you parents that's got children. I want every child that's 12 and under up front of this church right now. Every child 12 and under. Come on. We'll take time. We'll take time. Come on. Get up here. Come on. Amen. I want every child in this church, if you can, that's under 12. Bring them on. Bring them on. Hey, have you noticed how we're thinning out? But Johnny, don't look like we're having near the meeting now, does it, back here? Try to look around. Huh? Come on up here. Come on up here. Come over here, kids. Come on. I want them to look at you. Come over here, who's that? Guess? Come over here, Gessie. Come on. Come on across here. Come on across here. Where's that little old boy that was up here a while ago with that black cowboy hat on? Is he here? Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's his hat? Where's his hat? Glory to God. Where's he at? Get him. Come on here, boys. Amen. Lord God, come on up here. Children, you girls, come over here. Bring them over here, Mama. Bring them over here and stand. You can stand with them, Mama. Bring them on. Amen. Hey, these kids I love. Glory to God. Glory to God. A while ago, while we was having a meeting, Brother Ralph Cox was preaching so good. Two little old girls sit here. One of them said, "Oh, I'm about to die for sleep." She fell over in one's lap. And then was looking at her, she said, "Oh, I'm about to go with you." She fell over top of her shoulder. They were sitting here asleep, one of them on one of them's lap. The other one, oh, show. I pushed Brother Ralph. I said, "Brother Ralph, have you ever seen anything like that?" He said, "Never have." Amen. Now, children, I know you may not all be able to understand me, what I'm saying. I know some of you, if you're young, you may not understand. But I want you children to hold up your hands that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. That you've got the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues. Lift your hand. Now, I want all you children that don't have the Holy Ghost to go back to your seat. No. I got it wrong. I want you that have the Holy Ghost, y'all come out here. You that got the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, come back here. Now, hey, I want you all to go over here. Stand over here. These are the children here today, folks. And have y'all got the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues? Y'all go right over there with them. Now, let me ask you a question. I wonder what we've got to do every night when the altar call's made. Oh, they're going to get the Holy Ghost sometime, bro. When? Brother Mike, I don't believe those young kids ought to. How do you think you ought to be before you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, John the Baptist had it from his mother's womb. Hallelujah! Amen! Hallelujah! Amen! Now, you look here this afternoon. Amen! When are these kids, somebody count these children, when are these children going to get the baptism of the Holy? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they didn't have revival so much down there at the church, I'd like for them to know one thing. We've got more to do than besides track down there to the house of God. What are you trying to say? Oh boy, I gotta get up and go to work. We got a guy at our church. Amen. My God, now he's leaving church early because he got a job and gotta go to work. Acts chapter 2, the same one. Right at 50 children up here that don't have a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right. The same chapter, Acts chapter 2, that tells us we can get it, says in the promises unto you and to your children. Oh, God, amen. Let me tell you something, amen. You know why I got these children up here this afternoon? Amen. It's because there's a dying need among us to say Pentecost for the next generation if there is one to come. By God, amen. Hey, where's my cowboy at? Where's my cowboy at? Amen. Come down here, cowpoke. Come down here, buddy. Bring him down here. You know, cowboys, they can't hardly stand still. You know, he's got ants in his cowboy boots. Praise God. Cowboys can't hardly stay still. Come down here, son. Come down here and help this preacher, would you? Come on. Hey, that's the way a Texan always does. I always throw their hat through the door before they walk on him. Come on. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If I'd start with old cowboy Copas up there, and I'd start across this right here, I'd say, son, come here, buddy. I'd say, son, I want to ask you something. Since you've been going to the Holiness Church, how many real life miracles have you seen in the services in your church? Is it a natural occurrence where you go to church for the Holy Ghost to take over and a move of God in your church where you lose sense of other little kids and you say, hey, God is here. I believe I'll go up to the altar. We're losing a generation of Pentecostal churches because we're trying to save the horses and the mules. How are we going to get it back? You know, you can save your horse and a mule of your pet doctrine and lose an entire doctrine. Oh, it is my humble opinion that the soul-winning tactics that we need in our church today are exactly the same as those in the New Testament. And I believe that every man of God here, every evangelist here, the ministry that you ought to have is not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Brother, listen to me this morning. Amen. Just coming in for a three-point sermon. Amen. And blowing everybody's mind with it is not getting the job done. We will never touch our generation by using the soul-winning tactics of the Baptist churches. Come on! Amen! Glory to God. Amen. I'll tell you something. The fame, amen, will go out into all of the country. Amen. Amen. That the lame walk. Amen. And the sick are healed. And the blinded eyes are opened. Amen. When we really begin to see what we're saving. Brother! Let me tell you something. Oh, man. Pray for me. Pray for me, honey. I'm getting ready to take the leap into the dark. The Lord has used Johnny Gabbard to challenge every minister in the wholeness movement. Let me tell you something. Man, don't fight it. Don't try to depend. You bunch of Pentecostal junkies that's got to depend on medicine, pill popping pills, Tylenol. Every pain you have, don't try to defend that. Take it and keep your mouth shut. Go ahead and do it. My God, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. But let me tell you something. God has raised up a man among us to point us back to where every one of us need to be. Nobody, listen to me, nobody in the whole of this church ought to ever have to ever take a pill. I challenge anybody, a Bible scholar in here, on that one point right now. You show me somewhere in the Bible that we have a mandate to go for healing other than James chapter 5 unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer of heaven and earth. I tell you something, we preached an atom bomb Jesus to this world with a firecracker life. And they ain't buying it. So, what we ought to do to save our horse and a mule doctrine and our pride is just load our guns, shoot this guy and kill him every time we go to church. Kill him. You're going to save your horses and your mule? Hey, you're going to save your chicken and your stupid turkeys? Kill him. Shoot him, preacher. Shoot him! My God, I'd go down there, but brother, I like stand tall on a little Tylenol. So, save yourself. Oh God, but forget the doctrine that brought Pentecost from the days of Acts was one where Jesus was Lord of the body. Miracle wonder. Brother, this guy's got his life on the line. Some guys may go back, John. You got to die. Everybody else can go back, John. You got to die. This only guy here this afternoon that's got to die, Ralph.
big deal. Phony anyway. This guy goes, he's our last chance. We want to kill him or keep him. We're going to save him or support him. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Listen to me this afternoon. Amen. What you're trying to say, man, is your horse is on your mules. This is valuable. This is something worth something. Can't you see it? Amen. Let me tell you something. We need to raise these children right here. They're worth saving, ain't they? They're worth saving. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. They're worth saving. Oh, God. They're worth saving. They're worth raising and they're worth saving. We've got to save our generation. We've got to save it. Amen. Let me tell you something. When I got up this morning and said, Brother Ralph Cox has been up since 5 o'clock this morning. Said he was. You know what he was doing? He was trying to save you all. You, that's who he was trying to save. Not every preacher's alike. I'm not like other preachers. Not every preacher's alike, but I worked until Brother Roger taught me how to build houses and be a good carpenter. And I worked and I pulled my little church right up out of the rough, right up out of the rocks, out of the dung heap. Built her right out of the dung heap. I worked until I knew that I was receiving ample support from the church to support myself. Amen. But I was working. I was making $10 an hour. And I was cutting home over $400 a week just by going to work. Amen. I could almost save what the church was giving me. But you see, I read myself out of a job. Amen. Oh, the old holiness preacher, Puritan preacher, Bridges on Proverbs. What's his name? Charles Bridges. He got a book on the ministry. And you talking about flesh killing, hide busting. Every preacher needs to read it. But he had a place over there. And I flipped over there one day and read it. I got the scripture wrote down in my Bible. And it says, and in doing this, he says, give thy... hand my notebook down here. I want to find it. I want to read it to him. Amen. It'll be easy. I can do it. I think. Let me read it. I wrote this first down. If I can find it. Amen. And then it said this. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. And I said, oh God. I said, God, I'll lay her down. I'll lay that money down. You can have her. I said, I want to save my people. And I said, God, if I don't care what I've got to suffer, I don't care what I've got to go through, Ralph, I want to give myself wholly to them. Because I want to save my people. And I want to tell you, you and my church that are here this afternoon, you are the most important thing to me on the face of this earth. And there's not a day, there's not a minute goes by, there or away, that my church and my people are not on my heart. And I've stayed up, I've wore myself out, staying up for 25 years. I used to try to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning and get up at 7. And I've traded all kinds of hours out. And now I'm back, I try to go to bed at 12 and get up at 4, praise God. Amen. And I try to read, and I get convicted if I don't read enough. And I get convicted if I don't study enough. And I'll get convicted if I don't pray enough. And I'll pray 8 hours at a time and stay up half the night in a cabin. A lot of times when I went into Sunday school, I drug in there because I wore myself out trying to save my church.
I want to see my church. I want to have a revival. I want to save these kids. I want to give myself and save my church. I want to save my church. Oh. You know what Jesus did? The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 25, it said, for Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. I love the church. I love the church. And it's worth saving. Brother Kenny, it's worth driving those miles and going over and saving Brother Larry and saving your church. Let's go home and save our churches. Amen. Lord God. But you know the nice thing about it, Brother Johnny? When I saved them, I'm saving myself. In our country, there was a fire the other day. A horrible fire. Horrible fire. In Baptist Valley. And a guy by the name of Harding, him and his four children were in the house when the house caught on fire. You know, in drastic times and situations, you only save what is important. Could I ask you this afternoon, what are you trying to save? That car? Are you trying to save? Are you trying to work some extra for that car? Let me say this, that third car. What are you trying to save this afternoon? Are you going to be like Ahab right in a time of dearth and famine? Or are you going to go out trying to save the horses and the mules? What are you trying to save this afternoon? Amen. The story come out in the newspaper. Mr. Harding had jumped out. And his four children had burnt to death in that burning house. Now, Brother Ralph, I don't know the circumstances, and I'm not condemning the man. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Bless God, if my house burns down and you find my boys is burned up, Mike ain't going to be standing on the outside talking to the reporters. John, I'm going to crawl through them flames. I'm going to go through them ashes, amen. I'm going to ride through the smoke, amen. John, I'm coming after you, buddy. Ben, where you at? Amen. Ben, hey, Ben, where you at? I'm coming after you, buddy. You're not dying at the top of that house without daddy. Amen. I'll die with you, amen. Hey, church, let me tell you something. I want to try to save the church. Amen. What are you trying to save? Huh? Boy, I charge you to go home and tell your church that stinking, big, beautiful brick church they've got is going to be like a tomb when y'all send your preacher packing. He's worth your tithe. A guy that'll have revival and try to save my children is worth your tithe. We're trying to save our brick veneer. We'd like to have padded pews. Do you know some of our stinking churches the other day? Stinking churches said, hey, I just didn't remember whose it was. Said, we can't afford a pastor. Care less. If the guilty one is here, get ready. Let me tell you something. If you can't afford the man of God, what can you afford to save? Hey, I said, what can you afford to say? No, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to spend your next 25 years fussing about how much money he makes, and your whole family and the next generation of Pentecost is going to die and go to hell. Hey, I said, amen, I'm going to die and go to hell. The tabernacle in the Old Testament, I'll take anybody on this church over this, was built out of the offerings. There was not a dime of the tithe money went to pay for the house of God. They paid for it out of the love for the Lord's house, out of their free will offerings. The tithe went to support the Levite. Why don't some of you all that's going to kick your homeless preacher out, why don't you go down to that dried up mud hole right down the road from where you're at? Look at it. Because that's exactly what you're going to have when you run the man of God off. You're going to have one just like it. You're going to have you one just like it. No move of God. Oh, yeah, you're going to... Buddy, you're for me, ain't you?
I done preached this old boy a lie.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. Amen. You're going to go down there with your brick veneer and your padded pews and your heat pumps. And we're going to have the polar bears in the pews. And ice cubes on the altars. Because we're going to have Dr. Jack Frost behind the pulpit. Huh? Glory to God. And you're going to save the horses. Well, we got rid of that preacher, but we got our mules back. We ain't got nobody to jump on us down there for dragging in church 15, 20 minutes late every night. You know what you're preaching to your kids? It ain't worth saving. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, church. Let me ask you this evening. What is important? What means something to you? What means something to you? Oh, God, for men of God. I looked at Brother Cox as he preached this morning. Oh, God, what a man of God. I looked at Ralph while Brother Ralph was out here last night. Brother Ralph, I didn't mean to call you Ralph. I meant to call you Brother Ralph a while ago. And Brother Johnny, I didn't mean to do that. Amen. Lord of God, that's not the way I do things. Amen. But brother, let me tell you something. Amen. I used to look at Brother Ralph Horton. Oh, 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 oh. If the church at Richlands just knew what a man he was. Man, what a job to pastor that church. That's why you ain't there. You ain't man enough. Whew. Oh, God. What a man. What a man. Oh, you know what? There's not any of you all know what it is to be in the middle of something and the pressure put on you from every side. When we feel that pressure, we go into that prayer closet. What to do? Oh, God, I got to save as many of them as I can. They may not be worth a dime, but I love their children. And they don't realize what they're doing to this church, but I love them. Amen. And I want to save them if I can. Oh, church. Oh, let me beg you. Figure out what's important. Get your priorities straight in your life. Our world does not know what is important. You know what Ahab ought to have done? If Ahab... He never even tried to save something he could eat. Man, I'd have went out and I said, Obadiah, man, the old Elsie, that milk-given heifer. Ah, go get her. Save her. Least we can eat her. But he was so carnal. All he could think about was saving those horses, that it was against the law of God for him to have in the first place. But it would build you up in the eyes of the heathen nations if you had a bunch of horses. So he wanted to save. What he was trying to save, amen, was his pride and his honor among the rest of the nations. He wanted to save his honor. But Ahab, if you would have saved your kingdom, you would have saved your people, you would have saved yourself. But you lost it all trying to save yourself. And you may think it's a burden this afternoon, church, but it's not. The work of God is no burden. And I know, hey, we can't... Hey, I beg your pardon, but I am sick to death of family-type reunions on Sunday. Brother Mike, our family only gets together one time a year. Yeah, my God, but we've got 55 families in church. We go 55 Sundays of everybody taking their family and forsaking the house of God. It's killing us. And we're the only ones can stop it.
My God. My Lord, do you realize that heaven's talked to you this evening? It ain't no wonder. I don't know much, but I know when the Spirit of God moves. And when He told me to stop it, it's time for Mike to preach. I know why. He wanted you to be here. He wanted you to hear this. You might not have known this before Mike preached to you, but you know it now. You know it now. And the judgment of God will follow you the rest of your life if you don't do it right now. Amen. It's time we got back and decided what's important. What's it all about anyway? Man, this ain't no horse race. This ain't no big I and little you. Man, this is the kingdom. We need each other. Amen. I appreciate the word of the Lord. I appreciate the word of the Lord. Amen. My God. I tell you what I feel like doing. And I'm going to do it whether you do or not. I'm going to pray. I feel like making me an altar. I feel like seeking the Lord. I feel like we need to repent over some things. We need to tell the Lord we're going to do it different. Oh, God. They said.